7 of Druids, written by Sylvan Greenfield, read by Daniel from 11 Labs. Obsolete Human Voice, Andrew Adams. Introduction. Shouldn't this be introduction instead of introdiction?
No, I like introduction because I want to introduce you, Daniel, and the way you read this audiobook. So, introdiction.
But why do you want to introduce me, Andrew? Doesn't my diction speak for itself?
Listen to me, my dear Daniel. I love you like a dear nephew, like the son of my favorite aunt, Kathleen. But this whole new profession you've chosen sounds like a fraud, a scam. It's messing around with someone else's ears.
What are you subtly suggesting, dear Andrew?
Nothing subtle about it. It's an insult to the English language and how it should be spoken. I'm afraid that the new generation who listens to this audiobook will start talking the way you do.
Like what? The rest of the group kept watching her intently, as though hoping for Selena to turn the hair into something with a lot more translucent meat on it with her druid magic. For a long spell, nothing happened. Then Selena shook her head. Nothing yet.
For a long spell, nothing happened. Then Selena shook her head.
Okay, I get your point. This is sort of a childhood illness. I'll grow over it. I also don't think many people will notice.
So, as a so-called professional voice, you don't take your audience seriously? I've studied for years to become a well-trained actor who soothes the ears of his listeners.
Nowadays, we do things differently.
What do you mean?
Voices like you are old-fashioned. Just imagine one has to study a text over and over, then go to a recording studio. Drinking lots of coffee waiting for the engineer and the director to show up. What do you think that costs?
Okay, let me give you another example of your language butchery.
I'm not sure if I'm doing it right, Leander, said Selena. I'm supposed to hear the animal's thoughts, but I can't. I believe we have no choice but to swim across this time. Several disappointed groans followed. Great.
You suddenly switch to the Queen's English. I mean, why the hell do you bother?
True. That was a mistake. I was distracted. But it just goes to show I managed to speak several accents, even though they come as a surprise, to me too. And also, I am still sort of in beta. I am still learning. This is work in progress.
In progress? I think you mean backwards. Listen to this.
There is another option, though, I said. Hyenas can swim, can't they? Dogs can. Peleus whipped his head towards me.
Do you really think nobody's going to notice this? This is how you're supposed to do it. I'll give you three different ways. There is another option, though, I said. Hyenas can swim, can't they? Dogs can. Peleus whipped his head towards me. There is another option, though, I said. Hyenas can swim, can't they? I mean, dogs can. Peleus whipped his head towards me. There is another option, though, I said. Hyenas can swim, can't they? Dogs can. Peleus whipped his head towards me and...
You've got me there, Andrew. I can't reach such a high level. I am only a voice in a can that you can take off the shelf. And also, I have my moods. My pronunciation differs from time to time as it does with real people. Call me cheap if you want to. But still... This is the first English book published in the Netherlands read by an AI synthetic voice. Not even you, Andrew, can beat that. So here I go. Prologue. The sun beamed down at an almost vertical angle. Its golden rays bathed an olive branch in light. On the branch sat a squirrel. It had the see-through skin of a ghost and a bushy tail that shimmered silvery blue in the sunlight. Every time it moved, the bluish shadow beneath its feet moved with it. The spectral squirrel squinted against the dry Mediterranean breeze coming from the east. The breeze blew a single leaf up into the olive branches where it was caught by the squirrel's fluffy tail. Despite its ghostly appearance, the squirrel still had ways of interacting with its environment. Down below, a procession of 9 people trudged uphill over a half-overgrown path. They were each garbed in white woolen robes, pulled up under sashes of various colors bound around their waists. The men, 7 in total, had their robes cut short at the knees, while the women's went down to their ankles. Colorful shawls were draped over the women's shoulders to set them further apart from their male companions. Sandwiched between his much younger companions, the man in the middle had only a small band of white hair left to protect his scalp from the sun. His features were serene and his gait resolute.